Bush and Richie here with your Daily Takeaway podcast. It's a show that follows hot on the heels of Ant and Dec being in, doing the biggest music quiz for Cash for Kids, which they did in our studio. And there was a lot of people here before we got here and everything. And we were told that there was still some nice food, like a spread left over in the main green room area, the centre of the radio station. So as soon as we put the first record on, we ran in there and you should have seen our faces. And this says a lot about us, actually. There was quite a lot of nice salad.
Yeah.
But the look on our faces, we were absolutely mortified, weren't
we? Do you know what? When you look into it, when you look into what's gone on there, it says a lot about why we do what we do and why Ant and Dec do what Ant and Dec do, all right?
Yep.
Ant and Dec, the survivors. You can't dislike Ant and Dec. They're amazing. They're incredible. Their career just keeps on going.
Yeah, and they still look the same.
And their rider is trays of salad.
Yep.
We do what we do. Mm-hmm. We hear there's the sniff of some free leftover food. We go out. We see trays of salad. We come back disgusted.
We were, and honest to God, I don't want to overstate this. We were absolutely furious.
We're absolutely fuming.
Beautiful day. Charity. They've raised loads of money. Yeah. People have got involved. All come together. It's absolutely brilliant. And there's us. And I feel bad about this. Us furious about salad. It's like a modern Aesop's fable or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So actually, let's take this opportunity to apologise then.
To who?
The world, the universe. Should we take like a repentant spoonful of couscous each? Take your medicine.
Repentance couscous.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
I know this is the home time show and it's not a football show, but can we talk just very quickly about something that happened in the football last night, please?
I don't recognise this music. What is this music?
Well, you might recognise it soon, my friend, with how your team is doing.
That's a lovely thing to say, thank you.
It is the Champions League music. And last night there was the first leg of one of the semi-finals. My team, Arsenal, were playing away in Madrid against Atletico Madrid. Drew 1-1, all to play for next week in the second leg.
Yeah.
Something that happened last night, I think there's ramifications, and it's the kind of thing that we can all identify with in our own homes.
Yes.
Arsenal were playing away last night in the home of Atletico Madrid, and as the players were walking off the pitch at the end, one of our players, England defender, sometimes for England, over...
When he fancies it.
When he fancies it. Ben White walked over a crest, the badge of the Atletico Madrid team that was right at the end of the tunnel.
You'd have to go round it to avoid it. It's massive.
It's a very awkward place to have a club crest, I would say, when that is the entrance and the exit point to the pitch.
But he goes right through it, doesn't he?
Right through it. On the floor, and then gets shoved around by all the players, and then the manager of Atletico Madrid saying, "You can't do that, you can't touch that. Everyone's meant to walk around, you can't touch that." It's literally on the floor. It's a piece of the carpet.
Is it the same as... I remember when I was a kid, we went on to visit my uncle who lectured at Edinburgh University. It's a thing called the Heart of Midlothian.
Yes.
Heart, is it like that?
Edinburgh, isn't it?
It's something like that.
Yeah.
You're supposed to treat it with respect.
This is the thing. I think you get it in a lot of households. There was... discuss this carefully. There was a period of my life when I lived in a house for 2 years and there was a cabinet that I wasn't allowed to touch or clean.
I think I might have read about you in a Stephen King book.
With porcelain figurines in, and I lived in fear of that cabinet. I don't live there anymore.
Did you have your meals slid under the door at set times? But you weren't allowed to touch it.
I wasn't allowed to touch. I lived in fear of that cabinet.
Look, so if there's something in your house that you're not allowed to touch...
I couldn't touch it.
I feel there's a lot to unpack there with Richie's story. Like, for example, Running Gardener has just messaged now. He wasn't allowed to touch the window cleaner's money in your house. Don't touch the window cleaner's money.
What's going on there?
We knew we were going to get a few of these... about partners, etc. Okay, just get them out of the way now.
I think that's all that's happening. 5 minutes for people to get that out of their system and then they'll start behaving and normal stuff will come through.
Irv, for example, says the ex-wife had a Virgin Mary statuette thing at the top of the stairs. I knocked its head off accidentally and she only found out 10 years after the divorce when she moved it and its head rolled off. The kids had grasped me up.
Oh, no.
Never touched the Virgin Mary statue.
Of a similar theme, Robert said, my parents had a small model nativity scene. They put out every year. I was never allowed to go near it. One Christmas, I put the crib on top of the stable roof. It was the worst telling off I ever received.
There you go. It lives long in people's minds and memories. Marie in Ilkeston says, my other half is a butcher and I'm not allowed to touch his boning knife. There you go. Everyone's got their kit, haven't they?
They have indeed. Steve says, when I was a kid, I was not allowed to touch the equalizer settings on my dad's prized stereo. That has unlocked a memory for me and my dad's stacking system in some cabinet, and he'd know if you touched anything on there.
Yeah, I mean, do you think people listening now under a certain age won't even know what those little tiny dials are, or do you know what I mean?
Sadly, probably the case.
There's people listening now, kids listening now, who have no idea what it's like to press a button and it to do a lights demo, like it used to do in Dixon's. Let's go to the phones. We've got John on the line. John, what weren't you allowed to touch then in your house back in the day?
Well, this was many years ago. My parents had a statue of a eagle on a rock, Capodimonte. And we were told never ever go near it. It cost a lot of money. And then 48 years later, I inherited it upon the death of my parents.
Wow, so are you now, when people come over to your house, don't let them touch it?
Anyone can touch it.
I heard that rumour. We need to get him off.
I think we need to get him off. There's nothing else that we can ask after that.
Well, there's been some very interesting and quite diverse things come in, actually. Jake from Bradford, who spells his name J-A-Y-K-E, which I'd not seen before.
No,
is that
neither.
Jake or Jakey? When I was a kid, the new weekly food shop was forbidden for the first day. My mum would be like, "I've just bought them cheese strings, put them back."
That's really good.
It kind of works.
Rachel says, I was not allowed to touch my mum's China horses, which is tricky for a horse-obsessed 10-year-old. But I was off school one day, played with them, broke a leg, tried to glue them back together, glued my hands with the glue, trying to fix it.
That's karma for you. That is karma. We've got Alice on the line. Alice, what weren't you allowed to touch then?
Oh, wow. When we were kids, my dad had an old-fashioned car battery that you had to charge in the house, and he used to put it in the dining room. And he put it on a sheet of newspaper, and he said to us all, if you touch that, you'll die. We were terrified of it. Terrified. We wouldn't go anywhere near it.
So what, he would drive his car around, right, and then at the end of the day, take the battery inside and then charge it back up for the next day?
Well, not every day, but every now and then, yeah. You'd have to charge it in the house for some reason.
That's
a very old car.
Different times.
I mean, I know when you jump start a car, you've got to do that properly or that can go a little bit wrong, but I've never heard about, like, removing it and taking it in and charging it. And...
Oh, maybe it was just us then.
Have you had, like, a bit of a thing then about car batteries ever since?
Yeah, terrified of them.
Bush and Ritchie's Daily Takeaway. Absolute Radio.
May Bank Holiday weekend away this weekend. It's the sun is out, the weather's changing. It's time for us to get summer 2026 sorted. And as you've heard over the last few days, we've very much realised that this year we haven't got anything planned. Previous years, this time last year, we were just finishing our cycle ride from Liverpool to London. The year before that, we went magnet fishing in Brentwood.
Swings and roundabouts,
swings
isn't it?
Swings and roundabouts, but nothing planned for this year. So we decided that we needed to get something planned. Been taking suggestions from you over the last 3 days, and they varied wildly from mountain unicycling.
Oh, yeah. Live-action role-playing.
Live-action role-playing, Quasar, all sorts. But there was something that came in over the last 48 hours or so that stuck with Bush and I, and it was lighting up our show WhatsApp group last night. And we've decided that this summer our activity is fishing.
That's it, we're going to go fishing, which I think will be a nice tonic to the madness of daily life.
Absolutely.
I think overall, it's a weird one for me in that my dad used to take me and my brother fishing a lot when we were kids, where that was like in like river fishing in Wiltshire, or then we moved to the seaside and then going out sea fishing. But we used to moan about it all the time and say it was dead boring. And I remember him taking us out when we were kids to practice casting rods out in a field. It was like a 1970s public information film. There was like a disaster at the end of it. But we used to moan like hell. But now as I've got older and you've got no free time and you just want a bit of peace, you can see the appeal of it.
It's exactly that. I remember being in my early 20s and being down in Poole and going out on a sort of like a trawler or whatever the correct term was for the boat that we met at Poole Quay and being out off the Poole and Bournemouth coast for 4 hours. And there was five of us mates And we were out there, and only one person caught a fish in all of that time. And I was thinking,
oh, really?
Apart from the beers, this isn't very interesting. But now, you live this busy life, and I just crave that peaceful time. So let's give it a go.
So we're going to give it a go. But as you can tell, we're both complete novices at this. So
haven't got a clue.
So if this is a new hobby that we're going to embrace here for summer 2026 on the Home Time Show, what do we need to know? What do we need to get? Any kit? Any advice? Hugely welcome. And we just had a lot of messages about getting a rod and not falling in.
Thanks, guys.
That's not a great start, I'm going to be honest with you. Two different separate listeners have mentioned a thing which I'm kind of slightly obsessed with. Simon in Wallington says, I bought a bait boat to stop the ducks eating all me bait. I'm still not catching anything. And someone else says, you need to get an angling boat feeder. I listened to my fishing mates talking carp fishing in France, and someone had one of those. And I presume it's a tiny little motorised boat that drops your bait off.
Surely must be.
Wouldn't that be good?
A bait boat is brilliant.
I mean, I lived in Bristol for a long time near Portishead. They've got a little boating lake. I think a remote control boat would be great.
Speaking of boats, earlier on when I was talking about my experience fishing off the coast of Dorset,
yeah,
I was struggling for the words. I went with trawler. Sean has texted saying the correct term used for a boat used for fishing is fishing boat. Regards.
Okay, yeah.
Thanks, Sean.
When you were talking about the trawler, I was wondering how much you came back with you. £300 of crab.
Rob in Kidderminster says the most important thing you guys need to get is your Environment Agency fishing licence. £2,000 fine if you get caught without it.
Now, I think my dad is it a bailiff or a sheriff? Or one of them is from Robin Hood, one of them is to do with fishing. But he goes round a lake in Devon and then checks everyone's got their licences.
Really?
Yeah, he's a grass.
Wow.
So maybe he can sort us out with, yeah, like... Producer Nick, would that be right? Get a counterfeit one or something like that? Only joking.
He did not like that, did he?
Like that at all. This could be all above board, of course. Thank you for your advice.
Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio. The Daily Takeaway.
We always devote a good third of Thursday's show to you, to helping you, the Home Time family. Get in touch with us and we can answer the problems with the help of the Home Time family together.
So Amanda has dropped us a message, and this sounds quite urgent. She says, Dear Bush and Richie, Amanda here. I need your help and I need it quickly. Work has been crazy today, so I've told my two boys, Dan and Billy, who are 8 and 11, that I'm doing them beans on toast, as I don't have time to go to the shops. They have told me that this is boring, a boring dinner. I've had a rush of blood to the head, and I said that it won't be boring, as I'll be putting a secret ingredient into the beans that makes it taste better, and that's got them interested. The problem is, I don't know what the magic ingredient is. And I'm about to put the beans on. So, any suggestions? What would work? Please help a mum in need. Amanda, what makes beans better at short notice?
I don't think cheese ever ruins anything.
Cheese is always good, although they can kind of... There's a tipping point with cheesy beans. Do you know what I mean? It's like, there's beans with a bit of cheese in, beans with a bit of cheese, and then suddenly it's like something completely different.
I didn't clarify what type of cheese, did I?
Oh, right.
Parmesan.
Really?
Yeah, because you could shave that in... And then it's going to melt in. Dan and Billy, was it?
Dan and Billy, yeah.
Dan and
11.
Billy won't notice because the parmesan is going to melt. So the visual representation of the beans on toast doesn't change, yeah, but the taste does. Therefore, adding to the mystery and intrigue promised by mum.
Is there a pair of scallywags, 8 and 11 years old, is their palate going to be able to cope with parmesan in the beans? That's all I'm saying. Also, I think we need to factor in the fact that she said she hasn't had a chance to go to the shops. So, does Amanda sound like she's got parmesan at hand? I don't normally have it.
Well, I don't want to make sweeping statements about the good name Amanda and whether they keep parmesan in their larder.
Well, a larder as well. Someone's doing all right for themselves over there. I'll have the butler bring it up. So, look. Short notice, someone you could put into beans on toast to make the beans better. Amanda needs your help.
Pete is in Halifax and suggests two different things. Let's Take them one by one. Okay. Bovril, first of all.
Not in a million years. It's not the Second World War. It's not the Blitz.
Okay, well, I think I know what your reply is going to be to his second suggestion. He's gone with an OXO cube.
No, but that's the same thing. Imagine, how can an OXO cube make beans better? Some of these are quite weird. Gaz says tobacco. That'll shut them up. Hey? I think he means Tabasco, and that's a horrendous typo.
You can't be feeding eight-year-olds tobacco and beans on toast.
I'm glad we've clarified that at this stage of the show.
I'm getting some early Friday vibes of hunger. A soft boiled egg, says this suggestion.
That might work, you know.
I reckon it could.
What about this one here? Tegan here. Branston pickle or brown sauce? Two lads of that age.
I'm not sure about that. This one's curious. Chopped bacon and maple syrup.
Oh, yeah, kind of a sweet thing going
on. Yeah.
How about mixing in chopped up hot dog sausages and barbecue sauce, says Barry, which leads me on to Kerwin's message. Gents, I always add two McDonald's barbecue sauces into beans. It's a game changer.
I'm sure it is a game changer. I don't like what Kerwin's doing there, because for that to work, he's obviously taking away barbecue sauces from McDonald's.
It's for his own personal use.
Indeed, yeah. I can't encourage that.
Let's shop him in.
With Ronald. Martin in Cambridge says a big knob of butter and some celery and garlic salt.
Oh, that's probably the most highbrow one we've had so far.
This is a great text. Obviously, it's based in being helpful, but the vibes I get of Amanda, this needs to be done quickly. This might not necessarily be the solution. Evening Bush and Richie, a tin of beans can be a good base for a shakshuka. Add peppers, onion and some spices, paprika, garlic, a splash more water if needed, and poach an egg in the juices. Serve over toast with the egg on top. If all else fails, do cheese on toast with the beans on top, and the barbecue sauce idea is very good. Or Worcester sauce.
I can imagine our producer Nick watching shakshuka at a world music festival.
I reckon he would.
Amy in Hartford says, secret ingredient for the beans on toast that me and my partner always have is crumbled chili heatwave Doritos. Oof. On top of the cheese. Oof. And drizzle in sriracha sauce. It takes it to the next level.
Do you know what? We don't say this enough. Doritos saves so many meals. I love sticking a Dorito in a fajita.
Really?
Yes.
Well, there you go. Well, maybe that's it. Amanda, if you're listening, get some Doritos from the 24-hour garage.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
That's it for today's Daily Takeaway podcast. At the beginning of the podcast, we were talking about Ant and Dec's Trace of Salad.
Yeah. It's not a new TV show, by the way. It sounds like it.
I can see that. Now, steer there, pet. You could win some costs.
That was good.
Thank you very much.
That was
much.
A very good impression.
What is couscous?
On the TV show Peep Show, they used to call it misery sand. But I don't really know. I don't know what it is. It's a really good point. What the hell? My Christ, we've been eating it for ages.
I've no idea. I don't mind it.
It's all right.
I don't know whether you grow it on a tree, whether it comes out of like ploughed fields. I literally couldn't tell you what it was.
It's weird. That's a very, very. I think we might have to do this on the main show.
Really?
Let's do it.
If you hear this broadcast live, you know we're scraping the barrel.